Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor. A little froggy this morning, but doing our best. Pulling the Aaron Rodgers. Hey, might be under the weather. Still playing in the big game. And as far as we're concerned, Saturday mornings from 8 to 10, it is the big game. It's our opportunity to spend some time with you, share some information, answer some questions, and hopefully get you information to make your financial life a bit better. If you've got questions for us about investments, income taxes, estate planning, the business of your life, whether it's retirement, wills and trusts, long-term care coverage, deductions, exemptions, credits, all those kinds of things, we are happy to serve you this morning. All you need to do is request. All you need to do is ask. 610-720-7900. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com works very well as well. And you can join us for the entire show at morethanmoneyonline.com. We have two emails that are actually related in a very indirect way, but you'll see here what I mean momentarily. Gentleman who is a listener of the show writes, he was having a conversation with a close friend. His situation that he knows his friend's situation to be quite simple. And his friend was discussing with him the need to establish a living trust. A living trust. We'll circle back to that so you understand exactly what that means. And when this gentleman said, hey, you really think you need to spend that kind of money on a living trust? He said, He had watched a television show and said, everybody needs a living trust. Our emailer obviously frustrated because his friend has in essence been led down the garden path by a sales pitch. A living trust, for those of you who have not kind of bumped into that term before, is technically an inter vivos trust, one that's established and funded during your lifetime. Very different than most of the trusts that you may have encountered in the past or may have considered in the past. Most of those kinds of trusts are called testamentary trusts. Those are trusts that don't exist during your lifetime. They come into fruition. They come into existence at your passing. So using Diane and me as an example, we have three daughters. Have we established trusts? Yes. Do they exist? No. How can that be? Well, they exist on paper. They exist as a potential while we're alive. But when Diane and I are gone, they come into being. And those are testamentary trusts. If we wished, if we felt a need for a living trust, one that existed right now, that inter vivos, as it's referred to as a living trust, it can cost a fair amount of money to set up, thousands, not hundreds. There is a cost involved in maintaining it year by year by year, tax accounting costs, etc., even potential legal fees in terms of updating the trust, etc. So the question logically becomes, why would somebody be motivated to spend that kind of money, effort, time on a living trust? There are circumstances where a living trust makes a great deal of sense. In my experience, 780 years, I have seen, I'm just guesstimating This is anecdotal. It's not, I haven't conducted in a double-blind study. I would guess about 1 out of 10 human beings, Americans, taxpayers, just good folks, have a circumstance where a living trust would be very beneficial. The vast majority, 90% plus or minus, no. So the emailer's frustration with the description that everyone needs a living trust, I share his frustration. Everyone in America needs a chainsaw. Dude, I'm 78 and I live in a continuing care condo. You got to get a chainsaw. How are you going to cut stuff if you don't have a chainsaw? Oh, never really thought about that. Guess I'll go get a chainsaw. That sounds foolish. The only reason this doesn't sound as foolish is because salesmen have kind of crafted their words carefully, and they're salesmen. Lots of folks have approached us. Most recently, we had a young lady. She's a widow. She has an IRA. She has her bank accounts, of course, and she has an annuity. And her question was, shouldn't I get a living trust to avoid probate, so my kids don't have to go through months and months and months of this being dragged out? And the answer was no, because in essence, you either have or could have your entire estate out of probate anyway, at no cost, without using a trust, no legal fees, no accounting fees. And because she's been a client for a long time, she kind of smiled and said, okay, since I already know you know the answer, just I'm waiting. How about just sharing it with me? Her IRA will be passed by beneficiaries. An asset that is passed to beneficiaries does not go through probate. Her annuity will also be passed by beneficiaries, by beneficiary designation to her children. No probate, which leaves us with her bank accounts. And there is a technique, a strategy referred to as a transfer on death, quite often referred to as a TOD. You add it to your bank accounts. It costs you nothing. And it functions very much like creating beneficiaries would on an IRA. So she has three major blocks of assets: IRA, annuity, bank accounts. Now, with the addition of a TOD, all of her assets will go directly to her children. That process will be measured in days, not months, not years. The vast bulk of her estate could be settled, quote unquote, in days, not weeks, months, or years. And that's fantastic. And the words living trust were never involved. Salesman. Which leads me to my next email. Gentleman writes, my wife and I invested in several annuities a few years back with a guy who used to have a show on WAEB. Used to have a show. We've been very disappointed, and now we've been quote unquote assigned to another advisor because the first guy got promoted. We've been very disappointed with the performance of these annuities. We feel it's best to bite the bullet, pay whatever it takes to get out of these things and get into something better. How do we go about doing that? Do you see the connection? Salesman. Everybody needs these kinds of annuities. Apparently not. Everybody should have a living trust. Everybody should fill in the blank. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how good it sounds. It doesn't matter how good you know it to be for you. Life insurance has done more good to protect and preserve families than a human being can get your head around. So everybody should have life insurance. No. Owning a home has done tremendous positive things for literally hundreds of millions of Americans over time. Everybody should own a home. No. Buying a car and running it 300,000 miles until the wheels literally fall off is the cheapest way to own a car. So everybody should buy a car. No. There's just nothing that exists financially, where it's everybody. So these folks got involved in annuities. They're unhappy. The advisor now gone, very unhappy. Bite the bullet. How do they go about doing that? I'm not sure they should. And that answer might surprise some folks. I mean, you hear me be vocally unhappy with salesmen. And in this circumstance is no different. They were sold a bill of goods by someone who's no longer available to take responsibility. Available, willing, you fill in the blanks. Tomato, oh, please. However, I strongly suspect that the financial penalty for exiting these annuities early will be really painful. And I get the idea of biting the bullet and going to something better. What I don't get, what I can't get, certainly not yet, is that that's in your best interest. I'm guessing, but I'm really confident that I'm guessing correctly, that if I looked at the numbers at how you have done so far, how you're projected to do until the end of the contract, I'll bet it's 10 years, versus the pain, the penalty that you would pay to get out, and the kind of returns you would have to get to rebuild back to where you are now, I'm going to guess you're not going to be, the odds are not going to be in your favor that you can do that confidently. And let me use numbers. This might help. Gentlemen didn't give me numbers, but I'll give you numbers as a demonstration. It might help. Let's say we invested $200,000. We've committed for 10 years. The salesman said it's going to be great because, you know, the world's going to hell and markets are going to go to hell. And all right, so last year the markets not only didn't go to hell, they did pretty well. And yet, let's just say for the sake of argument that this portfolio only made 2%. So it's worth $204,000. Could have made 6, 7, 8, could have made 10, 12. And of course, they said there's no fees involved. Well, there's a fee for you. If you could have made 8, $16,000, and you made 4, where's that other $12,000? It's not in your pocket. So the calculation is, okay, we're at 204. We could have been way higher. I'm getting out, and let's just say for the sake of demonstration and to make it as easy on Gene as possible, the surrender charge is 10%, $20,400. That's painful. That is a dreadful number to consider. And of course, that means that you, in order to reinvest, you have what's left. You've got a little less than $180,000, a little more than $180,000. And now you've got to grow that back to the original 200, 204 actually now, and beyond. And if you stay where you are, as unhappy as you are, as disappointed as you are, as much as you like to take a sharp stick and smack him in the head three or four times, the guarantee on the program says that you're not going to lose money, and you may actually make some modest amount going forward. So, you can't be happy dealing with these folks. You're unhappy with the performance, at least initially. I would paint a slightly different scenario in terms of your how you would feel about this if next year, when it goes from 204 to a whopping 206, if the market goes down 40%, I'm thinking you would feel different about that contract. Great, terrific, better, maybe not, but maybe different, maybe less angry. And over the next 10 years, what's the opportunity that at least once or twice during that time the stock market's going to drop a lot? Pretty good. Pretty good. That's nature of the beast. So, salesman, everybody needs it. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Wow, hang on a second. Another email about TODs. I'm setting up my bank accounts with TODs so my kids don't have to pay inheritance taxes. Should I also put TODs on my IRAs? John's not so sure. John's hearing that going, he knows there's a trick question in there someplace. And he's heard a lot of the trick questions. So young lady writes, I have my bank account set up with TODs so my kids don't pay inheritance taxes. Should I also set up TODs with my IRAs? There's actually two problems with those two sentences. First is, so my kids don't have to pay inheritance taxes. Sorry. That's not what a TOD does. Transfer on death says, I've got $200,000 in my bank account. Several days after my passing, my kids show up with a death certificate, the official notification to the bank that I am gone. Several days after that, maybe even that same day, they get the money. Days, not weeks, not months. However, the state of Pennsylvania is still quite interested in that $200,000. State of Pennsylvania still has a death tax, inheritance tax, however you wish to term it. Assets that were yours before you passed, $200,000. Subject to inheritance tax. State of Pennsylvania, if it goes to your children, 4.5%, $9,000. The TOD will assist your children in getting to the funds that they are due quickly, easily, without fuss, without probate, without muss. However, it doesn't affect the estate taxes that the state of Pennsylvania is expecting. So let's make sure we correct that misunderstanding right up front. Kids still owe estate taxes. Should I set up TODs on my IRAs? The answer is no. You don't need to. Because an IRA has, all IRAs have beneficiary designations. So when you set up your IRAs, And for a lot of folks, we get these kind of questions because, to be blunt, let's see, I set my IRA up in 2002. And yes, are you kidding me? I don't remember Wednesday. So if you don't remember 15 years ago setting up your beneficiaries, you know what? I think you're off the hook. I think you're okay. I'm not suspicious that... I don't think you're losing it. you might be, but not for that reason. I mean, you might be, not for that reason. So make sure that you understand that you do have IRAs. Now, lots of folks in terms of beneficiaries, you've heard me now mention over the last half hour or so that beneficiaries can be really, really cool. They can be better than living trust. They can be efficient. They can be free. They can be. So I guess this is like a really wonderful topic that there's just no way to kind of mess this up. That would be wrong. There are a lot of ways to mess up beneficiary designations. Very useful if you are working with a financial advisor. Very useful. It'll take, if you have the documentation, if you have the information, it'll take less than 10 minutes. You say, let's take a look at our beneficiary designations and see exactly what they do. And does it do what we want it to do? So using my own example, 15 years ago, you set up your beneficiaries on your IRAs. 15 years ago, your kids were 15 years younger. 15 years ago, you didn't have three of your grandkids. 15 years ago, you didn't realize how much more you liked your grandkids than you like your own darn kids. So is it possible? Come on, that's silly. No, it's not. My friend Dan says, you really, really, really end up liking your kids. That's great. But you love your grandkids. Is it possible that now that you are 15 years further down the road, that your beneficiaries should change? I see lots and lots of folks who have set up their beneficiaries on life insurance, IRAs, etc., pay to the estate of. Ooh, okay, that's one way to go. But I'm not sure it's the right way to go. More than money. So do beneficiary what requirements or the best use of beneficiaries change? Absolutely. Is it possible that you need to revise or refresh? The answer is absolutely yes. Should your financial advisor be in a position to help you? I think the answer to that is absolutely yes as well. 610-720-7900. We shall go to the phones and we talk to Renee. Renee, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. I have a hypothetical that you're discussing of beneficiaries and IRAs raised in my mind, and I was curious about it. In the event that you're going to die. You know, you're in a terminal situation.
Sure.
You're terminal.
Right.
What is the financially more responsible way for you to withdraw all your monies from your IRAs and pay the tax at your rate, or to let them to go to your heirs to? For them to just dissolve the IRAs or do it with what they wish with the IRAs? Is that a real complicated question?
It actually isn't, Renee. It's a fairly straightforward question. If sadly, and folks understand that they are terminal and they're putting, as they say, they're putting their affairs in order. If they looked carefully at their circumstance and found out that if they liquidated their IRA and kept the proceeds, the net proceeds after tax, and found out that because their tax bracket was so low that they would pay little or no tax, whereas if beneficiaries of those IRAs were in a high tax bracket, 25, 35, 40%, that would be a very reasonable thing to do. Of course, it works the opposite way as well. If the person who is facing their demise finds out that liquidating their IRAs would cost them a tremendous amount in income taxes and their beneficiaries would have relatively low brackets, then they've actually done the reverse of what they should have. The only way to know those answers is case by case, tax bracket by tax bracket. A good financial advisor, a good tax accountant would be able to help. Renee, thank you so very much. We have a heart. We have Renee. We have a hard break. We're coming up on Fox Network News. So, if you have another question, you want to call back after the break, that's fine. We'll listen to your calls, your questions, your concerns after this on More Than Money. But welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor with 780 years of experience at your service. This Saturday morning, I send a shout out. Is that still called a shout out when you're saying hi to somebody on there?
It is now.
Apparently so, to Mr. Dennis Jeter. Dennis, thanks for listening this morning, and good morning to you as well. Thank you. We get lots of very nice emails during the show. Hey, hope you feel better. Hey, here's what you should do. People tell me where to go. Kind of. So I will just say thank you to Kevin. I will say thank you to Scott. I will say thank you to Fred. I will say thank you to Rick. I don't know how to pronounce her name. That's very nice. I don't. Scotty something, but I can't pronounce her name. I apologize. Crystal, thank you. Very, very kind. 610-720-7900 as we enter our last full half hour this morning, and happy to serve you in any way that we may between now and the end of the show. If you would do me the great favors, if you have any interest whatsoever in either tomato and tomato of these two topics, either a reverse mortgage workshop or a life insurance analysis workshop. Life insurance, the basics right on through sophisticated stuff about life insurance analysis. Shoot me an email, gene@askmtm.com, if you'd be interested in one or the other or both of those workshops. We're considering putting those together. And for all of the tax clients of More Than Money, as we enter tax season, let's see, today is the 21st, next week, 28th. We'll be in full swing end of next week. Most of you, the vast majority of you, will be dropping off your packages with your tax documents. If you have a specific question, make sure that you call the office. Set up an appointment to drop off your documents and ask your question. We've got staff that will take notes of those questions so that as Diane and Daryl and Janine and Sue prepare your taxes, that we'll get those squared away. We also have a drop box in the rear of the building. So if you have material you'd like to drop off before or after hours, that's fantastic. Just go ahead and do that, and we'll get those squared away. Or if you just like to stop in, drop off your stuff and say, hey, you guys got some coffee? Hey, little tiny bottle of water. I've gone through a couple of those today. Not really sure it's helping a lot, but it's helping. Please drop off your tax. Start dropping off your tax returns as soon as you have all your materials. Fantastic. 610-720-7900 if you have comments about yesterday's events. Peaceful transfer of power and the heart, the capital of the most remarkable country in now 7,000 years of recorded history. 10,000 years, perhaps, of humanity. Who knows? These are mysteries. I don't know about that stuff. What I do know is that as a country, we are blessed beyond all belief. You just don't hear those big stories about people, you know, trying to sneak into, you know, like Romania. They're just trying to, if they could just get across the border into Greece, life would be, I'm just not hearing that. Coming to America, that's still the dream. And maybe a little brighter today than it was a couple days ago. 610-720-7900. Gentleman writes, my wife and I are both 68. I'll be retiring in June. We have many types of investment accounts, IRAs, Roth IRAs, 401ks, and annuities, and regular investment accounts. We will need, obviously, to generate income starting in July. Do we take income from each of these accounts, or do we focus on taking income one account at a time? Exactly. That was my answer. Wow, that's an interesting question. It's one that we get involved with in the More Than Money World Headquarters quite frequently because a great deal of the work that we do, I would say 80% plus, is for folks who are either retired or soon to retire. So it's very, very interesting that that this question comes up. Obviously, the answer is it depends. It depends. But I'm going to give you a couple examples of why it depends. On the extreme, let's say that your non-IRA assets, you have $200,000 in an account that's not an IRA, it's not a 401k, it's not an annuity, it's not a Roth IRA. And your need, the income that you need over and above your Social Security and or pensions, is $2,000 a year, like next to nothing. We've answered our own question. Very, very easy, because you have a taxable account of $200,000. There's a certain amount of profit you're going to generate there, likely, all of which will already be taxable and likely to meet your very modest needs. So we don't have to look at any of the other accounts because your need is so very, very basic. The flip side of that is if you aggregated all of your accounts, and let's say it's $500,000, and you need $25,000 a year of income, oh, we got to squeeze income from just about everywhere. Does that kind of make sense? Those are kind of bookends. In the reality for most folks is they're somewhere in the middle. In general, I like to leave Roth IRAs for as long as possible, because they can be sent to the next generation, kids, grandkids, and they can generate some income tax-free income as well. So the longer that Roth IRAs can compound, the happier I am. In reality, most IRAs, not Roths, but most IRAs, at age 70, you must begin taking an income. So we have to factor the required minimum distribution into your plan as well, because you've got to take that money and pay the tax, kind of come hell or high water. Kind of. There are some exceptions, but kind of. And so that we got to factor in that cash flow stream into your needs as well. So when I say it depends, you can see there are a lot of different factors. Taxes are a factor. Investment quality is a factor. IRS requirements are a factor. Personal family objectives are a factor. If you're really hoping to leave a substantial tax-free legacy, Roth IRA should be left untouched. You see all the different factors. The only way to get a specific answer is obviously sit down, quality financial advisor, experienced financial advisor, and go through your numbers, your accounts with that person. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Peter. Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. My question is, can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can, sir.
My question is, I'm 68 years old. I have $165,000 in an IRA, another $65,000 in a Roth, and I have no debt at all. I collect Social Security, as my wife does also. And I have a salesman I've been talking to him for months now, and he's almost got me to the point of believing I should empty out my IRA, pay the tax, and put it into what's called a mutual dividend paying
life insurance.
Whole life insurance, better known as a bank on yourself, which is heavily advertised on the radio.
Sure.
You ever hear of it?
I have, sir.
What do you think of it? What do you think of it without my input, just in general?
Oh, very good. Well, I have two concerns about bankonyourself.com. Actually, I have three. Let's start with their advertisements. Their advertisements are decidedly misleading. And they are allowed to be that way because, as you have discovered, they are selling life insurance. Life insurance salesmen are not held to the same standards in terms of advertising or information, sharing information, as registered investment advisors, as fiduciaries are. So they can say things like, your investments will always go up. They will never go down. Avoid the stock market casino. They can say very dramatic things, and that's permissible because they are life insurance salesmen versus being financial advisors, fiduciaries, or any other type of advisor who has to put your financial interest first. They do not. They don't have to do that. So that's my first concern. My second concern is that they make the claim that they will outperform any IRA, any 401k. This is blatantly incorrect. This is this is a fib. This simply isn't the case, because it cannot be the case that any one investment can guarantee that they will outperform every other investment. It simply can't be done. I have investigated bankonyourself.com several times over the years. They do indeed offer life insurance. The reason they want you to liquidate your IRAs is because life insurance contracts cannot be held inside an IRA. And he, the salesman, has determined that your blocks of money that he's most interested in are in the IRAs. So he is, in essence, kind of cavalierly saying, cash them in, pay the tax, whatever that tax may be. If you cash in $165,000, it's going to be a fairly substantial block of money you're going to lose to taxes. His claim will be, even after paying all that tax, you will be able to outperform, using this whole life insurance contract, any investments you have in the IRA.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm here to tell you, I don't believe that. I have the advantage over this salesman in that, number one, I'm a fiduciary. Number two, not only am I licensed and qualified to sell life insurance, I can do every other financial instrument that's available. So unlike this gentleman who only gets paid his commission, if you are willing to buy his sales line, and buy his product, I can be completely independent. Peter, I would strongly urge you to get a second opinion. I would offer you our More Than Money second opinion at absolutely no cost, no obligation. I have seen both the books and the materials. I will also tell you that the last time, and I'm going by memory, it's got to be a couple of years ago that we talked about bankonyourself.com. I read on air their disclaimer, their really teeny tiny fine print that they put inside their brochure. It went on for minutes after minutes after minutes, basically saying everything we're telling you might very well be wrong, but that's on you. It's not on us. So I have deep concerns about bankonyourself.com. And again, I would strongly encourage you to sit with an independent fiduciary financial advisor, have them go over your financial numbers with you. If it turns out, by the way, that that it is in your best interest, a fiduciary will tell you that. If it turns out that it isn't, they will tell you that as well.
Would you be that independent person? Do you have another number I could call at a different time?
You know what? As a matter of fact, let me just go ahead and give that to you. You can call our office and schedule that at any time. The office number is 610-746-7007. I'll give that to you again, 610-746-7007. By the way, that's the number for anybody listening who's saying, now, wait a second, whether it's bankonyourself.com or whether it's one of these fixed indexed annuity issues on the radio, or whether it's any other financial question that you've been somebody's selling you on an idea, sounds pretty good. I'd like to a second opinion. I'd like somebody who's objective that can give me the facts rather than try to sell me something. Please use that same number, 610-746-7007. If it turns out what they're selling you is good for you, that's fantastic. You can do it with confidence. If it turns out it's not, it may end up saving you pretty significantly.
Can I ask you a second question?
Sure, go right ahead.
I also have about $65,000 sitting in a 1% savings bank, which he wants me to take that out also and do a separate, which would turn into, 65 would turn into 85 in 10 years, plus it would carry a $100,000 death benefit.
Yeah.
Again, it's inside the vehicle known as Bank on Yourself. And I'm very tempted to do that. What is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would look at that carefully as well. Life insurance carries significant embedded costs. So while 65 may end up being 85 over 10 years, it wouldn't surprise me if in the first year or two it's at zero or even negative numbers. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
It's 3 years at negative numbers and then it jumps.
Well, and Peter, thank you for saying that, because I was tiptoeing around that. I haven't looked at it for a couple of years, so I wasn't sure they were still pitching the same, in my opinion, sales pitch. When their advertisement says to you, you cannot lose a penny, and then their proposal shows you that for the first 3 years, you're guaranteed not only not to make a penny, but to lose money. If you should need to cash that out anytime in the first 3 years, you not only, contrary to their advertisement of you can never lose a penny, you're going to lose money.
That's correct.
The very fact that they are willing to either stretch the truth, to be diplomatic, or flat out fib in their advertisements to say you can never lose a penny when they know for a fact that it'll be in negative territory for 3 years, that's enough for me to say I don't want to deal with people like that. That's my opinion.
When I call next week, who should I ask for? Anyone in particular?
Nope. You'll talk to one of the young ladies that schedules appointments. They'll put it on the schedule. We'll get you squared away.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you, Peter. Peter must have been reading my mind this morning. Because on the way in, of course, I'm listening to Bobby Gunter Walsh. Of course I am. And one of the messages this morning was on bankonyourself.com. And I was thinking to myself, it's been a couple of years. Now, the reason I was hesitant to jump in with both feet, because maybe they've changed their program. I haven't looked at it in 2 years. And then when Peter confirmed with me that, hey, 65 turns into 85, but for 3 years, it turns into something way less. Well, there's two points that need to be made there. Number one, then why do your advertisements all say you can't lose money? If your very own materials that you're presenting to a client to excite them, to entice them, to sell them on your idea says, oh, by the way, for 3 years, you're going to lose money. But what happened to the part on radio where you said you can't lose money? Can you see my confusion? And it's not just because I have the sniffles. I'm confused. But I'm really not. I understand how these things work. By the way, the reason they lose money, it's called commissions. It's called commissions. I have recently, by the way, seen, and hopefully Peter's still listening, if, for example, Peter said to me, yeah, but you know what? There is a piece of this I really like. I want life insurance. I want, or better, I need life insurance. So if I took the 65 and it became $100,000, that would help me. That would help me achieve a certain financial goal. I'd say, God bless. Now we're on to something. But not the program that he's being offered. Our partners at Ash Brokerage have recently began training us up on a life insurance contract where there are no commissions. Yeah, a totally interesting idea. So that, no, you don't have 3 years of negative. You don't put 65 in and have 58 or 40 or whatever the numbers are for the first 3 years. You don't have that happen because there are no commissions. If they're in negative territory for 3 years, I think we've kind of stumbled into, maybe through the back door, of why this individual, Peter, said he's been kind of after him for months. Why would somebody just keep nagging you month after month? Oh, well, let's see. If you give me 65 and it turns into 60, that's $5,000 hanging out there. Is that possible that's their commission? Yeah, could be. That's a lot of money. And that's just for part of what Peter's offering. Let's just pick a number and say it's a 5% commission. I have no idea. Just pick a number for fun. Peter's looking at pushing 300 grand. So if this guy gets Peter at a weak moment and go, okay, just sign me up. $15,000. What if it's only 3%? Oh, then he only made $9,000 in about an hour and a half. Wow. Second opinion, mate. How much time do we have? All right, good. We're not going to take any more calls because time is short and it annoys John. When time is short, and time does annoy John, that's true. And I'm right there with him, you know, because it's going too fast. I want to talk about the idea of second opinion meeting briefly, and then I'll give you contact information, and everybody that's listening can take advantage. Second opinion meetings are not... they were not invented by More Than Money. They were perfected by More Than Money. They were not invented by us. They were perfected by us. Second opinion meeting is offered by many, many, many professional financial advisors. Very, very well-meaning and well-intended professionals. The reason I say they're perfected by us is because we don't just offer you a second opinion on your investments. We offer you a second opinion on your income taxes, on your estate planning, on your business plan. We offer a second opinion based on your financial picture. We offer a second opinion coming from financial fiduciaries, folks who care about you and your success first. So when you walk through the door, we're not asking you, hey, make sure, bring your investments so we can look at your investments. That's not what we're asking. We're saying, make sure you bring yourself. And come prepared to ask the questions that concern you most. Peter's about to embark upon an investment program, or not. So that's his number one question. There's no question. My guess is he has other questions. You know, while I'm here, what the hey? I haven't had my will looked at in 25 years. Is that okay? Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe not. And maybe the reason you're coming through the door is I'm worried about long-term care. My mom is 96. She's been being cared for. It's very expensive. What can I do to protect me? Maybe you're concerned about a child. There's somebody in my family that I love desperately, and they have special needs. And they may be physical special needs. They may be mental special needs. They may be just, they don't handle themselves well. And I'm concerned. How do I protect them? All of these real life issues are absolutely wonderful opportunities to get a second opinion and get your financial picture on track exactly the way you want it. All you have to do is ask. As we gave Peter, the phone number is 610-746-7007. If you call this weekend, you can leave a message. We'll call you back Monday morning. If you call during the week, you get to talk to wonderful folks who will help. 610-746-7007. You can send me an email directly, Gene, G-E-N-E, at askmtm.com, G-E-N-E. At askmtm.com. And of course, you can always use our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. Folks, thanks so very much for being part of this show. You've made me feel better already. I think it's the adrenaline pumping. Hey. We'll see you next time on More Than Money.